Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, May 14th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Pullman police complete investigation into March beating of WSU professor David Warner. Concerns over impending Moscow roll cart system for garbage and their charges for triplexes, and owners of grain elevators destroyed by fire over the weekend say they'll likely rebuild in Craigmont. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Pullman Police Chief Gary Jenkins said yesterday his department is done investigating the March 30th assault on American Studies professor David Warner and is ready to turn over the case to the Whitman County Prosecutor's Office. Warner, who is a professor at Washington State University, suffered a serious head injury and may be permanently impaired from the beating he took outside Adams Mall on College Hill as the nearby Stubblefields Bar was closing down for the night early Sunday morning, March 30th. Jenkins said the prosecutor, Dennis Tracy, will review the investigation and may send it back to the police department for additional investigation or may decide to file charges based on what they have. Jenkins said video surveillance footage shows the 41-year-old Warner being struck and then tackled. According to an account in the Daily News, Jenkins told members of the Pullman Police Advisory Committee last night the cameras were absolutely vital to the investigation. He said the video from those cameras and all the people who saw it, it helped us identify the suspects in the case. Four suspects eventually turned themselves in, and three of them are facing assault charges, with a fourth suspected of trying to cover up information about who committed the assault. 22-year-old John Matt Cabano Soriano, 22-year-old Robert Bean, and 22-year-old Joshua Nance, all from Mukilteo, Washington, were arrested and released after court appearances in early April. 21-year-old Madeline Fouts of Snohomish has been charged with rendering criminal assistance. Pullman police also investigated 31-year-old Lawrence McDonald, who was accompanying Warner on March 30th. Court records say McDonald was extremely intoxicated at the time of the incident. Police said previously a verbal confrontation occurred at Adams Mall and Warner tried to intervene before being hit. Warner was released from Sacred Heart Hospital in Spokane April 17th after spending 19 days there. He spent several days in critical condition and is now continuing his recovery in a care facility. Heinrichs Trading Company President Phil Heinrichs said yesterday he plans to rebuild one of the three large grain elevators in Craigmont reduced to smoldering ruins by a spectacular blaze Sunday night. Heinrichs told the Lewiston Tribune, "Let's go. This is a great community to work in. We just want to give them a great product when we come back." Heinrichs Trading Company owned one of the elevators, and Columbia Grain owned the other two. Columbia Grain Regional Manager Randy Olstead said of the other two elevators, "At this point, we are glad there are no human losses and hope to rebuild our material assets back in Craigmont when the dust finally settles." Firefighters said once it was clear nobody was inside the structure, they concentrated their efforts in putting out spot fires caused by embers spread up to a quarter mile away. The fire burned so hot Sunday it melted siding on nearby homes, which were evacuated in a two-block radius. The fire also destroyed a Columbia Grain maintenance shop. 13 fire agencies responded to the blaze, which was initially attacked by the Craigmont Volunteer Fire Department. One crew was stationed by Craigmont City Hall to prevent it from burning down. Craigmont Fire Chief Rick Samsell said there's no sense in fighting a big fire in a grain elevator. A state fire marshal was scheduled to be on the scene today, but so far officials have not determined the cause of the blaze. The Moscow City Council Administrative Committee yesterday considered revising policy to allow city employees to run for elected office. The issue will go before the full city council in future weeks. The current plan, drawn up by acting city attorney Gary Riedner, would allow employees to run for nonpartisan offices as long as they resign once they get elected. Riedner noted the city council has no supervisory authority over city employees, meaning they could not retaliate against a city employee for deciding to run. Moscow City Council members say they will consider putting a cap on the city's youth scholarship program. Moscow Parks and Recreation Director Dwight Curtis told the City Council's Public Works Finance Committee yesterday requests for pool and recreation scholarships increased $9,000 this year, and the program has already spent $12,000 so far. Curtis said he expects the number of requests to rise as the annual opening of Hamilton Lowe Aquatic Center approaches. The aquatic center is expected to open Saturday, June 6th. Curtis said one family had $5,000 in scholarship funding approved, and a non-resident family from Albion had $1,800 in scholarships approved. Questions continue to be raised about the minimum level of service the city will require residents to pay when the new roll cart garbage collection system is implemented in the city of Moscow August 1st. At yesterday's City Council Public Works Finance Committee meeting, during a report on implementation of the roll cart system, City Supervisor Gary Riedner explained the price system for multiple unit apartment complexes would be based on the number of units.
Multifamily charges, they have a different rate and they have a dumpster. Yeah. And the landlord is responsible for it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the base difference that we're talking about, is if one property management, landlord, whoever, is getting that bill, then it's based upon the dwelling units within that residence, whatever you want to call it, multifamily residence. But then it's a volume issue. And so it makes sense.
That was City Supervisor Gary Riedner speaking to the Moscow City Council Public Works Finance Committee yesterday. Landlord Roberta Radovich, who owns multi-unit houses in the city, said she sees problems with the proposed price structure. Here's Radovich in an exchange with City Council members Walter Steed and Dan Karskalin.
The new cart system requires at minimum, 35-gallon containers. Now, my triplex that has just one-bedroom apartments can have three or four people living in it. At no time have they ever used more than one can a week for all three apartments in that house. The other triplex has a larger size. But what we're looking at is we're having difficulties with the number of cans required when we never, in the 20-something years I've owned these places, have needed that.
So they're currently, if I understand it, paying three base fees, but only one of the three is electing to have a can service, and the other two are either using the tag system or not putting anything out at all.
Or they're all using the same can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess in our current situation, what we're considering has sort of left us in a weird position. We're in some sort of underclass.
Not intentionally.
I don't think so. It just happened. We have lost the privileges of the single-family dwellings in this new thing that we're considering to just do on demand. But then we've also lost the privileges of the large apartment complex to choose a single container that is appropriate size to meet the need of that particular unit. Now, the eightplex can buy a single container that meets the need. But we don't seem to have that either.
Okay.
And now we're being required to buy more than we need by long shot. But the services well exceed anything we've ever used.
I think we can agree that I will not agree with underclass. I will agree with separate class. And that it's an issue that needs to be researched.
That was City Councilmember Walter Steed in an exchange with local landlord Roberta Radovich at yesterday's Moscow City Council Public Works Finance Committee meeting. Steed suggested City Sanitation Director Tim Davis and City Finance Director Don Palmer come up with a proposal for triplexes and similar situations. He said the issue should come back before the Public Works Committee in 2 weeks and encouraged Radovich to continue communicating with Davis and Palmer with ideas about how to remedy the situation before the roll cart system starts on August 1st. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather. It will be partly cloudy tonight, low of 40 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high 65. 20% chance of showers Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, low 46. A 30% chance of showers and partly sunny on Thursday, high 61. Mostly cloudy Thursday night, 42. 30% chance of showers Friday, Friday night, Saturday, and Saturday night, with highs around 63 and lows around 44. There'll be a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Sunday, partly sunny, high 59. Currently, we have 60 degrees under mostly cloudy skies at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP, keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow. Be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website, krfp.org, to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up next is This Way Out, the international lesbian gay news magazine, and that'll be followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30 p.m., we'll have part four of a four-part radio drama called Dreams of the Blue Morpho. And at 8 o'clock, Ted and Andrea are in with Confinement Loaf here on KRFP, 8 to 10 tonight, and music and entertainment throughout the evening, all here at KRFP Moscow. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow. We have a couple community announcements. This Saturday's Moscow Farmers Market on Main Street will feature live music from the Lewis Clark State College Jazz Band at 9:30 a.m. and then the Katzen Jammers at 11:45 a.m. The market itself runs 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday, May through October. Special events this week, the Swim Center, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can also meet the Moscow Farmers Market Vendor of the Week, Arrow Clay Works, which features handmade items including ceramics and jewelry. Arrow Clay Works has been a vendor for 14 years at the Saturday Moscow Farmers Market. The Farmers Market includes the use of EBT and SNAP benefits. Visit the Shop the Market booth at the city tent to receive market money, which vendors will accept for approved purchases. In another announcement, there's a Paradise Ridge field tour on Sunday at 2 p.m. The Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition, Palouse Prairie Foundation, and Idaho Native Plant Society are encouraging everyone to join a field tour of the sites along and near proposed U.S. Highway 95 E2 alignment on the west flank of Paradise Ridge. On Sunday, starting at 2 p.m., participants will meet at the parking lot at the University of Idaho Arboretum, 1200 West Palouse River Drive in Moscow. It's on the UI campus, and carpool to Zietler Road east of Highway 95. I should say West Palouse River Drive. The Arboretum parking lot sort of away from the campus. But the Arboretum itself goes into the campus. People attending the field tour will review sites with ungulate big game habitat, spring wildflowers, and native Palouse prairie, a very rare ecosystem. Regional botanists and wildlife biologists who know the area well will help guide the tour. The co-sponsors are inviting the public as well as the Moscow mayor and city council, Latah County commissioners, Idaho state legislators, and the press. After the planned field tour, hosts will lead a hike to the top of Paradise Ridge for participants who wish to enjoy the natural areas and vast views of the ridge. Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition and allies are eager for a resolution of the Idaho Transportation Department plans to reroute the 6.5-mile section of Highway 95 between Moscow and Thorn Creek Roads. And the ITD's draft environmental impact statement and technical reports document three alternatives to the highway. Besides concerns for a better, safer highway that would upgrade, straighten, and widen the current roadway to four lanes, community members hope the highway project will not disturb some of the last best remaining native Palouse prairie habitat, which is less than a mile from the E2 route. In fact, more like a quarter mile. On Paradise Ridge slopes, parts of this critically endangered prairie ecosystem survive perilously close to the suggested E2 route. This higher elevation, severe weather-exposed eastern alternative would spread weeds into the Palouse prairie remnants and destroy more wetlands and wildlife habitat than the C3 central alignment. Okay, so that's all from the Paradise Ridge Defense Coalition. Their website, paradise-ridge-defense.org. And once again, the field trip, 2 p.m. Sunday, meeting at the University of Idaho Arboretum parking lot, 1200 West Palouse River Drive in Moscow. This is KRFP Moscow.